This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Deconstructive Criticism. I am Aaron Flam. Today's guest is the brilliant and charming comedian Ari Shaffir, whose comedy special, Jew, I thoroughly enjoyed. We will be talking today about, among other things, his comedy special, Jew, the process that got him there, the Holocaust and why it was a terrible incident, and why it is so important to be funny. I might not agree with Ari on stepping backwards, since walking backwards is dangerous. You don't see where you're going. I do agree with him on his point on being funny. It is indeed very important. With those words, I introduce to you Ari Shaffir. Enjoy.
Welcome to Deconstructive Criticism, Ari Shaffir.
Nice. You got a very regal notebook.
Yes, well,
this seems like upscale.
It is upscale. It's a German one. As you can tell, the entire studio is built so you feel as if though you're in a psychologist's office.
It really is that. Yeah. Yeah, I would not make it look this good.
Oh, well, it's staged.
Yeah, you got all these books that you pretend to have read.
Yes.
Behind you, that's nice.
I usually interview a lot of scientists.
Oh, really?
And people who aren't so used to being interviewed. So that's why we use these, so they don't have to focus on a microphone.
Oh, yeah, I have that problem too. But I have to be like, and I should go like this.
This is a long time coming.
Yeah, I met you 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, something like that. And I really wanted to interview you then. I mean, it was Jason Rouse's idea.
Ah.
He's like, they're both Jews. They must have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You don't really do anything anymore, do you?
Do any?
Judaism?
No, unless you can't count the circumcision of my son.
Okay, yeah. It's like cultural.
Yeah, it is, I suppose.
My friend's doing a joke about that now. He was like, that's the wildest thing that Jews gave to the world.
That's too sad, because I have a joke about it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just started doing stand-up again after like a 3-year hiatus.
Why? COVID?
Partly COVID. Yeah, also books and courts and so on and so forth. But this is supposed to be about you.
Okay. Well, so, I'm inquisitive.
Yeah. Yes, you are. So usually I start out with a very broad question, so you get to define yourself. So who are you, Ari Shaffir?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, because you usually just want to say your name, right?
Yeah.
I'm a stand-up comic. That's a good one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm Ari Shaffir. I'm a stand-up comic.
And that's it.
Made in Los Angeles, living in New York. Yeah, that's mostly it. That's 60% of it.
But you came from New York, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You were born there.
I was born there, then we moved pretty quickly after birth. Not my decision.
You were 13.
No, I was 2 months old.
Oh, really? And then yeah. Wikipedia is way off.
What did it say?
I think it said you were 13.
When I moved away from New York?
Yeah.
No. And then I moved back when I was 40, I think, 39.
It also said you were raised conservatively Jewish until you were 13, and then your father became Orthodox.
Yeah, that's not wrong. He had a bit of a stint with like, I don't want to do so much anymore. And then right back to heavy.
Heavy?
Yeah.
Heavy Judaism.
Yeah, he still wouldn't like eat non-kosher in the home, kept kosher home always. And I think he would be like, wouldn't eat meat out, but would have like, you know, a salad out. But that was like, don't tell your mom.
And
right on non-kosher plates.
And he was a Holocaust survivor.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, how did that affect you? Yeah, I guess.
I think about it once in a while because it's like you know, my friend lost his virginity at 14 to some random lady in Mardi Gras in New Orleans, some 40-year-old. And you know, he's like, it's funny. I was 14. Some lady waved me up to her, whatever. And people are like, but that influences your whole sexual life? And he goes, I mean, I guess so, but something had to influence it. Like,
yeah,
you know, like when people are going to university and they're deciding between two or three universities, and you want to tell them, like, you're going to have equally good a time as all of them.
But you don't think it affected you quite a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, it did to a degree. So, like, I have trouble wasting food.
Yeah.
You know, I'll always try to finish off whatever's on the plate. I'll take back way less in leftovers back to the flat.
Yeah.
Than my friends will. Or at least I have this, like, desire to give it to a homeless guy. Or, like, don't let it go to waste. That's from that, I think.
Paranoia?
I think he had that.
All right.
But I was raised, you know, without having to worry about Nazis coming, you know, so it wasn't like in my life. But if there's any like, you know, what they had those experiments on the roaches where they'll like pass down, they'll grind up a roach, feed it to their kids, and then they pass down like genetic code that way. So if that's true, then there must be something in there. But I don't know, to be honest, I don't know how it affected me fully besides the not wasting. I took a blanket from the fucking flight over here, and I've tracked it for like two or three, no, all through the UK and then two cities here. I left it this morning in Amsterdam.
Was it a good blanket?
Not really, but sometimes I'll use them as scarves, and I'm like, but this is way too big and thick. So it was like, I could never use this.
You don't have children?
No, I don't. Only, you know,
yeah,
in heaven.
Do you think you'll get children?
No, I had a vasectomy.
You had a vasectomy?
Yeah, I decided.
Why?
It only does one thing.
No, but I mean, this is something you have to think through, right?
Yeah, I have no interest. It's kind of like, I try to explain to people, like when I left religion, they're like, and I'm like, I don't believe in God. But there's like two types. When someone says, I don't care, it either means that, fuck you, I'm glad you're hurt, you know? Or it's like, it's just not something I like have time to think about, you know? It's like, oh, there's people in Afghanistan dying. It's like, oh, it's just not part of my caring world. But same thing with like losing religion. It wasn't like, I don't believe in God. I just look in there and it's not there, you know?
Yes.
So it's sort of the same thing. It's just like, it's just not, I just didn't want kids.
But isn't that like what Hebrew means, to wrestle with the concept of God? But yeah. You have stopped wrestling, obviously.
I've stopped wrestling.
Yeah.
After a while, you're just like, I got it. The only reason I'm still thinking about this is like,
because you are. I mean, if you look at your material,
yeah.
The first special is called What? A Holocaust Survivor's
Revenge for the Holocaust.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last special, which
was all about it.
Yeah. It blew me away, by the way.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. From comics, I always love that.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
And it's called Jew.
It's called Jew. It was all about
being a Jew.
My Judaism, what Judaism is about in general to the layman.
Yeah.
The stories, the techniques for. You know, I tried to cover all of it as much as I could. And you can't. It's a whole history and a religion. But
yeah, but you
did
the
major
part. You did a great job.
Thanks.
And I was so worried before I put it on, because I was like, fuck, I had an idea like this.
Yeah.
He's probably going to do all my jokes now. Fortunately, you didn't. You talked a lot about anal sex.
Yeah. All that. So my sisters are still very religious. The either Orthodox or like even slightly above that, one sister. So when it came out, the community, both of them were like, they were worried.
Yes.
They're like, what's this going to be? It's the last thing we need right now.
But it was tasteful.
Yeah.
And they liked it.
They said it was all respectful, far too many cuss words, but yeah. But not mean.
No, it's I think it's great. And I like it when you towards the end say, I hope you understand that I'm doing this as a sort of leading by example.
Yeah.
That you should do the same to your cultures or religions or whatever.
Yeah, you can look at like a specific and then be like, oh, I have something similar.
Yeah,
you know, so that's my, I was hoping to get that out. That it's like, I can't tell you much about Islam.
You can't?
But if you're Islamic, you can. I know you can. So
actually, they can't.
Oh, right, they can't. Yeah, that and like
because they'll get killed. So
I saw a couple of comments of like, why don't you talk about Islam? Are you scared? I'm like, no, I just don't know about you guys at all. And also, yeah,
yeah, I love Dave Chappelle, but I have noticed that he's never once joked about Islam, and he's a Muslim.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And he has jokes about Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jews from outer space.
Yeah.
That come back and take someone else's land.
Yeah, you're right. He has no jokes about Islam. Why not? He must know about it.
I don't know. The American version of Islam that, you know, seems to be a bit different than the one practiced in the Middle East, for instance.
Yeah. Well, there's church and there's religion, right? So it's like the guy's in charge. That's the organization.
Yeah, I don't know. Church seems to be more top down. There's like, as you say in your special, lots of flavors of Christianity. Yeah. And Islam has at least two.
Yeah.
And they seem to hate each other.
Really do. My brother, my half brother worked in the army. He was in charge of...
The
United States.
Yeah.
He's in charge of setting provisional government in Afghanistan right after the fall. Said it was 11 months of negotiation on how many Shiites, how many Kurds, how many Muslims, and fuck that, no way. Until they get the exact number right, where it's like 48, 12, and 6, whatever it is. And it's so frustrating. And then finally, like, okay, so we've got it. Everyone's like, agreed, numbers. All right, so on Monday, we're all going to meet. And then they're like, I'm not going to sit in a room with a Shiite. And he's like, fuck. And then he got transferred. And he was like, next guy's problem.
So I didn't know quite what to ask you because there's so much material that you've produced online. So, I mean, trying to get through everything is nigh on impossible.
Yeah, it's interesting. We live in a time now where you can like record, you can publish anything.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, so it's not like I have a book, here's another one 5 years from now. It's like in the meantime.
Do you have a book?
No.
But, all right, good. Because I must have missed that in that case.
But this stuff, you know, it's just like there's so much you could put on there now. That's kind of right as I got going.
Yeah. So what would Ari Shaffir ask Ari Shaffir? And could you please do it in the third person?
Oh, I don't know. What do you mean? That's so hard. What do you want to know? What are you interested in?
Well, that's what I want to know. What would Ari Shaffir, if you were interviewing yourself, what would you ask yourself?
Well, when it's a special Jew, I sometimes like people to ask me about the process and like what I was trying for.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of American
good, because that's what my AI told me to ask you.
Dude, it's usable now. I got into a discussion with some artist and he was like, could comics just use that to write material? And I was like, no.
No.
And he goes, can you use it to find angles? And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that you can do. I mean, every time I try to make it... do a joke in my spirit, it just says, no, you're an offensive comedian. And I...
well, they won't do offensive. Why no. that?
No, it sort of kills most of the creative process when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, it doesn't get it.
No.
It's an outlier. It's
so like what was your process when you...
Well, I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which was really enlightening for me. I kind of call it like my Beatles go to India. You know, there was such a different style of comedy there.
Yeah.
And it's not just the UK, but it's like that festival UK.
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah, they have these themey hours and they don't do it in America.
No theme hours.
No. I'm trying to think if anything.
Why not? It's such an easy concept.
Yeah, I mean, I heard an Icelandic artist, Ragnar, I don't know, last name's going to forget it, but Kjarlsson, something like that.
Okay, that sounds plausible.
He has some great visual, like film and music, and he like deals with them together. And so then I fucking randomly came across one of his things and fell in love. And then he had something at the Met, a Q&A. So, you know, the Icelandic art community is so small. So I just asked a couple of comedian friends. They're like, yeah, I know him. I'll get you in. And he was talking about musicians in Europe and how they all come out of art school. And then he like asked for a translation and he goes, in America, music is from the soil. And stand-up comedy in like the UK, at least, I don't know how it is here, you tell me, but like it's from theater. It's an offshoot of theater. And the United States is its own thing. So it's...
Well, the United States is where it started.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a modern art form,
yeah. At least. Jazz too, I guess, and that went to other places. But then like... Yeah, because they came kind of out of theater. I guess they did theater rooms and stuff like that. They had reviewers. We don't have reviewers in the United States. Yeah. Just now recently a little bit. But it's like you almost have to have it a show. Whereas stand-up comics, it's more like just sitting around the fire telling stories. So there's no like theme. It's like, do you have another one? Tell me another one. You know, even like musicians and great albums. Some of them are just a collection of songs. All the Van Halen stuff was just a collection of songs. And then occasionally you'll have like an album that's kind of like understated about something. The Eels had an album about like loss.
Yeah.
I think he had like a major earthquake in Los Angeles. And then at the same time, he lost his mom and his aunt. So it was all about like hospitals and dealing with loss. So that was like a themey thing. So some of those I really liked better. And you see these UK comics doing it and they were great. It was really interesting, but they had this weakness, like my friends talk about this, like what God do you worship?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't worship the money. And sometimes my friends have trouble with that, but it's just not something
So what are you in it for?
Trying to make the best stand-up I can.
So you're a monument builder. You want to leave monuments behind you. Yeah, I mean, maybe. You have had a vasectomy, yeah. So it's not going to be children.
Yeah. Somebody said that's why less artists have less kids than non-artists, except for the Spanish painters. Tons. But
different culture.
Yeah, because everyone wants to leave something behind after they're dead. And like artists already like they do that.
Yeah. So we were talking about themes and Jew is a themed special.
But their big weakness was that it got serious. And in America, it's like be funny. And so that was the God I worship on stand up is like funny. Just be funny.
No, but here in Sweden we have that as well. There has to be, or used to be at least for older stand up comedians here, that you had to be funny for like, let's say, 3/3.
Yeah.
And then you have to like tone down the light and talk about your tinnitus as a child or something.
Yeah.
And it has to be like,
woe is me.
Yeah. And then you have to switch them on and just have one final joke and then it's over.
Yeah. Right. That it's such a form. It's such a format. It's just like, I watch so many of them do it. I'm like, what are you doing? Why? And like, I wanted to know, have you thought about why you're being serious for 18 minutes? Why not 9 minutes? Why not 12? Why not 40?
Or maybe make tragedies.
Yeah, right. Make a full tragedy. Why is this funny at all? Why isn't just a little funny sprinkled into sadness? And I don't think they were really thinking about it.
So what's your theory?
Be funny throughout. My theory is you have to, every one of these bits had to be able to follow like a hardcore comic at the Comedy Cellar. Or at the Comedy Store. If Bobby Lee can go on and do like dumb whatever, I have to be able to tell one of these things and be able to follow that. Because if you get too serious and heady, they'll be like, what is this?
Yeah, but I think here, it's because they want to see the comedian as a human.
Right.
That he is capable of empathy and suffering. And don't just joke about everything. Yeah,
I heard somebody talking about John Mulaney's new special. I haven't seen it yet, and they said they.
Which one is that? The one on Netflix?
Yeah, it's brand new.
Yes, the one about his stint as a coke fiend.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I've seen it.
He is okay. Well, you tell me what you think. It's tough to can't really critique. I can only critique because I haven't seen it. He said he didn't like that. He didn't seem remorseful about his leaving his wife and his drug addiction and stuff like that. My friend who said it's very straight edge and Christian. And I was like, yeah, but if he's not remorseful, then he can't do remorseful material. Then that is his truth. Like, it was a great time. I don't know. It got too much, so I had to clean up. But
he had a problem with his image then.
Sure, yeah, exactly. But I'm like, you're asking him to be something he's not. Same thing with Louis C.K. when he came back, he was doing jokes about whatever. People are like, well, I wanted him to talk about the allegations. And in my head, it's like, well, those that happened 14 years ago. Why would he talk about something from 14 years ago?
It wasn't quite that long, but...
The last allegation, 12, I think.
Really?
From before it came out, yeah. It was like...
I mean, it came out
12 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, all so right. It's like, you want me to talk about something from 12 years ago before I had kids? Like, what do you... What? No, I don't... I talk about now. So, like...
And also, his kinks might have changed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you guys just found out that I picked my nose and ate it in high school, but, like, I wasn't dealing with that on stage. Just because the world found out and was mad at me, it was like, I already dealt with this. So... It was that thing of like, I wanted to be this, but it's like, if he's not remorseful, he's not remorseful. Then he shouldn't be on stage. That's the problem with that theme hour stuff. They force it a lot.
But you went for the theme anyway, because you felt you needed to deal with it. Or
yeah, and I saw a few people do it the right way. Steve Bugea had this as a newcomer, didn't get nominated for anything, but had this great story theme hour. So it was like two kinds, like informational and story. He had a great story, and just the whole way, it was like, wow, really good. And then Finn Taylor had a couple of them that were really, really good. Just one called Whitey McWhiterson, which is all about white people.
All right.
Yeah. And then another one called When Heresy Met Sally. And it was all about, you know, the Me Too movement. But both sides of it, really. And just like...
When Heresy Met Sally.
Yeah. Play off on.
Yeah. So how was the Me Too movement in the United States?
I got by. It was great for a while. Then it became a little bloodlust.
All right. Here it started with bloodlust.
Oh, really?
And naming names.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can, you know, search words on Google to see, and during Me Too, and this was 2017, I think.
Yeah.
And you can see a world map with where the Me Too hashtag is trending the most.
Yeah.
And it's graded in shades of blue. And Sweden was Smurf blue.
Really?
It was like the bluest country in the world.
Well, I mean, how could you not? Everybody's so hot here. It's almost unfair. You know, if you're in North Korea, it's like there's no problems.
No. They have problems. Yeah. It's just other problems.
Yeah.
So what was the process for?
So the process was, I can't let it be serious in any moment. I have to do all these bits. At clubs in short sets, you know, without this thing like, hey, you're coming to see me. I would also do a lot of Q&As. So I would do like 25 minutes, and then I do like small, like pop-up shows, and I would, where they didn't know it was me. And then I go, okay, so you realize now the crowd, like, I'm not going to be upset about anything.
Yeah.
I've done some callous stuff about Judaism. So what questions do you have about, because you know, when you're too deep in, you don't know.
What was the worst question you got?
They weren't bad questions. They weren't like that. They just like stuff they didn't understand. Like, what are those pillows they carry around? And I was like, what? Or it'd be normal ones like, why do the women wear wigs? I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't even think about that. It's so normal to me.
Yeah.
And then I would tell them, and like, why? And you try to make a joke about it. Why do they always carry pillows? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sure. It's where you carry your talus.
I didn't know. I was like, what pillows? That's not a real thing. And they're like, yeah, it is. I'm like, what? And then it hit me like, oh, that looks like a pillow to you.
Yes.
Wow. And I was like, it's not a pillow. Oh, my God.
What would you assume? If you weren't a Jew, what would you assume?
It does look like a pillow.
Yes.
I can see it now from the outside, for sure. But I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or one of them's like, sometimes like, why are they all afraid of cats? And I'm like, that's just one Jew you've met. That's not a real thing. Because a lot of people have just met one, and they assume.
But did your family have a dog?
No.
No?
We didn't have anything. I think we got one when I was little, and I got stung by a bee and made my dad send it back.
You might maybe think about it, because I read this. This was years ago.
Yeah,
some sort of psychological essay about Holocaust survivors, and apparently, almost none of them got dogs afterwards. Because you know, if you have to flee again, the dog is like a family member, but it can't shut up if you're hiding from the Nazis. So you have to kill
it. And Frank did not have a dog.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, interesting. Maybe, or don't want to share food. The mongrel.
All right. You have a real problem with food.
Yeah.
My grandmother was like that. She was in Auschwitz.
Really?
Yeah. She was, she always, we used to go to her after school, and she'd serve us food, and she wasn't kosher because she respected food too much to be kosher after the Holocaust.
It was just like,
it's food, eat.
Yeah.
And she always had this sort of competition with all the grandchildren. Now, the one who finishes the food first becomes Melech Kaiser, which means king and emperor, I suppose.
Okay, so get
it's
together.
It's a tautology. and you never really won anything. You just got more food. So, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, my mom found went to hiking in Zion National Park, and there was a washer dryer in there, and then we did a load, and then it was like, what's this? It was a Pink Floyd shirt. She's like, is this yours? I'm like, no, it's a woman's shirt, t-shirt. She's like, is it yours? She goes, no, it must have been left there by somebody in the dryer. Nobody knows. She goes, oh, okay. I'm like, do you want it? She's like, no, it's not my style. She's like, maybe I'll take it and give it to the cleaning lady. And I'm like, who's cleaning lady? Like, oh, my sisters, or like, maybe I'll, I'm like, just leave it here for one of these cleaning ladies. But she's like, I don't want to.
Was your mother also a?
No, but she's been living with one for 50 years. So it's rubbed off.
Is she a bit younger than your dad?
7-8 years. She doesn't remember the Holocaust, even from far away. But that idea, it's like, you're carrying a shmata. You're going to take a fucking rag all the way back across the country. It's, you didn't have it. Now, because suddenly it's on you, it's burdening you with, like, I can't waste it.
Yep.
That shit rubs off. Way more on her, but it's got to be on me, too. Anyway, so I did all these, like, material. I got everything. And then I started going, like, from the, because I'm trying to throw it in the face of these Edinburgh comics. It's really a spite special.
All right.
It's like, hey, you guys think you're better than us, because that's the one thing they have on us. Americans are far better than European comics, or definitely at least UK comics.
Well, that would pretty much make you better than
anyone. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're the leaders there. So, but that one thing, they're like, well, we do a fucking solid show and you don't. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So I kept thinking, where are you going to go? But this is where you fell short. And this is where you fell short. For a while, I was like, hey, there's nothing personal in here. And then I realized, like, oh shit, there's nothing, this is just informational. And I'm like, well, I got to show you my Judaism, you know, how it manifested, and make it funny.
Yeah. Much harder.
Yeah. And then little things like talk to my friend, like, what have I not covered? And then one of them was like, Joe Rogan, right at the very end, was like, hey, what are the two different types of Jews? And I'm like, fuck, I didn't have anything like that. Because I grew up just Ashkenazi, and we didn't have Sephardi friends.
You speak Hebrew, right?
Used to.
So you know the expression, Sephardim gam anashim?
And with souls? What are anashim?
No, Sephardic people are also human. It rhymes in Hebrew.
Yeah. Dude, it almost parallels the Irish, you know, where the Irish white Christian Protestants are violently against the Irish white Christian Catholics. And so when Israel started and it was just Jews, like, we got to have someone to hate.
Yeah.
So it's like the browner ones.
As if the Palestinians weren't enough.
They got them far enough away for a while. Yeah, and then I just did it that way, and I tried to chop everything down and make it tight, as tight as I could. Yeah, I was happy with it.
Yeah, you should be.
Thank you.
How many views now?
5 million, almost 6 million, almost the fucking...
So let's talk about Noah for a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because you talk about Noah in the special quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't remember from my 5 books of Moses...
Yeah.
This is the annotated version, commented by Robert Alter. I'm sure it's your favorite too.
Probably, yeah.
I don't remember him talking a lot about anal sex in the story of Noah.
No, this is generally... all the commentary. So there's a few different commentary, Rashi, and then a few others, biblical commentary of like why things happened. And so there's three main possibilities that people say. There's man laid with animals. Women were having sex with angels.
Women were having sex with angels.
The angels would come down, and I had a bit about that. The angels would come down and have sex. I forget what they're called.
Have you seen drawings of the angels that our religion culture actually believes in? They don't look like angels do in like Christian culture. They're more like burning wheels with like multiple eyes that just turn. Yeah, it's weird.
Interesting.
It's actually, I can't take credit for it. My wife looked it up because she was interested.
I wonder where that would come from. I mean, we have a problem where we can't understand deities, right? Because we're not so we make God an old man with a beard.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't have legs, probably. Anyway, so those are the three possibilities. And I did a little bit about how if the angels were coming and having sex with the women, like, why not why kill humans? Why not kill the angels? Like, what it was. And also how great pussy is that they're willing to leave the greatest place in the world, heaven,
yes,
and come get some puss. And then I just went with this, the three explanations is that we were having sex with animals, laying with
animals. Okay, so animals, angels, and butt sex.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's from Rashi.
Rashi has one of them. I don't remember which one anymore, he says. But, you know, all these biblical commentaries, you kind of have to, you don't take them as, like, truth, but they're way smarter than we are in terms of analysis.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you read the Book of Lot, where it's more explicit, I think.
Yeah.
Because Sodom is Sodom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can really get off as a Jew on a technicality, because it says, a man shalt not lie with a man as he lies with a woman. But the guests in Lot's house aren't men, they're angels. And it's technically impossible for a man to lie with a man as you lie with a woman, because a man doesn't have a vagina.
Right.
As you probably know.
Yeah, I do. I look every day.
It's just which never brings happened. Us to the trans question.
I could tuck it in. That's as far as I can go. Yeah, no, I said in there, if I remember right, Sodom and Gomorrah was 1,000 years before Noah.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I had this, there was a Sephardi, raised religious sound guy at the Stand Comedy Club, Joe Hariri. And it's where I performed a lot of them. It's my home club.
In New York.
In New York. And I'd get off and he'd be like, that's wrong. And I'd be like, what? He goes, no, I'm like, no, I need to hear it. Like, tell me what. And he'd be like, that's just not, you're talking about two different stories. I'm like, fuck. And then I have to go look it up. That's another thing I've never done in my stand-up is look stuff up.
Why not?
Because I've always been like, I'm an idiot. So if I'm saying something wrong, that's okay. Unless it distracts from you understanding it. If I say a giant dog like a chihuahua, and people are going to be like.
But don't you find research a great way to come up with new material? Because you always find new stuff.
Oh, for this, it definitely did. Yeah, maybe I should do it more. Look at backstories and stuff. But it's almost like, what do I already have in my world of knowledge? That's what I can express. And if I had to look up a better way of saying something, you know, thesaurus, then it's like, it's kind of phony.
So you sort of tried out the entire special.
Yeah. I think it was here. It might have been Copenhagen, but I think it was here in Stockholm. After a show, a rabbi was there.
Really?
With his modern Orthodox, with a bunch of his students. And he was like, I loved it. It was so funny. He was like, there's one thing you got wrong. I had a closer, and it was about Noah and his children. And I don't know where I got it in my head. Because you go from memory for when you're seven. I don't know where I got it in my head that Noah had 40 children. And I had this long bit about his wife's pussy must have been so blown out and fuck it, whatever. And then he's like, yeah, he had two sons and and I'm like, no. And then I had to look it up and I wanted it to be true so bad. And I had this giant 5-minute act out closer and I had to dump it. But I would get feedback from like knowledgeable people after shows. And so that really helped. Yeah.
And then you performed it at the Fringe.
Yeah.
Was it well received?
Yeah. And I made sure to bring comedians in.
What do you mean?
So like it was a free Fringe.
Yeah.
So anyone can come, you know, and first come, first serve. But I would scale the line and I kind of put the word out. If there's any comics who want to come, like I'll get you a seat first in the back. Because I was like doing it out of spite. I wanted them to see like.
The Brits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted them to see like what I did to throw in their face. Like I wanted them to see it. I'm like, so this
have
is what
you
it
had
be.
Any altercations with British comedians where they're like, yeah, you Americans, you are so funny. You make perfect jokes, but you're never serious and you can't do themes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We get in discussions all the time. When I lived there three different times, my roommates were all British comics. So one of them was like nominated for awards every other
Which
year.
One?
Ahir Shah. He's British, like Oxbridge, super educated, son of Indian immigrants. Knows so much about like economics and government. And we would get into long talks about it. And then it was like that. I could feel them going like, and there was even an article one year, like why are these Americans coming to this festival?
Really?
Yeah.
In the Chortle?
In one of those.
No.
Yeah. And they were like, Chris Gethard's at least trying a theme. None of these other guys are. I found it hilarious. I'm like, why are you angry about it?
Yes. What? Why do you think they are angry about it?
Because it's the same reason moms will get angry when I say I'm glad I don't have kids. They take it as an attack on them because of the small part of them, which is like, listen, I get it. There's a level of fulfillment in motherhood that, I mean, you must know it now that's like, because you're a mom. It can't be, you just can't, you know, you can't comprehend that until you do it. Sure. But like, you know, I can go to Berghain and dance for fucking two nights on Molly and not have to worry about, you know, just take a vacation is like.
There is a thing called nannies and also
sure.
grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
You do know this.
Yeah. Yes. But they get angry when you're like, nah, I think there's like a, you're not doing as much stuff. They get so mad.
So when did you live in England?
I didn't. I'm moving there.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
Done with New York. I know all the restaurants, you know. I had a nice run. I lived in LA for a while too, and same thing. I just started making a name for myself. Then I moved to New York, and everyone was like, "What are you doing?" It's the other way. People go from New York to LA. But I was like, "Yeah, I want to do new stuff."
You have a podcast in America that mm-hmm. you do together with people, right?
Yeah, there's people in.
Yeah, and you're just going to move them too, or?
Oh no! I don't do it with anybody.
No,
different guests every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sound and editing and...
No, my editor works out of her home. I upload the
all right.
the files for her. She doesn't want to be on. Same thing as you do. Yeah, same cameras also.
Yeah, I have an editor and then I just... Oh, you also use an iPhone.
It's great.
Yeah, it is because I'm a technical imbecile.
Yeah, it's... I went to Southeast Asia. Sorry. And I was talking to Joe Rogan's sound and video guy, Jamie. And so he's a whiz at this stuff. And I was like, hey, I want a pocket camera for taking pictures, not for recording, whatever. Not one of those long ones with a big lens, just one that zips up and you can keep in your pocket. Like, what's the best one? And this was during the iPhone 6. And he goes, honestly, man, it's the iPhone. It corrects for light. It's by far, it takes pictures quick. It's the best you can get. These other ones aren't, like the Canons aren't as good. And now it's way more advanced. And they're so light. You can move them anywhere. You can take three with you and set up at a park.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So you're moving to England now?
Not now. It'll be a couple of years. But this decision's made.
But I'm in London then?
Yeah. You know, I like doing spots every night.
Yeah, but you can do that in New York.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm saying there's only a few cities. So I move from Los Angeles to New York and then London.
And then you're done.
And then, who knows?
You can't do Paris. You don't speak French.
Yeah, I don't speak French. That'll be a problem. Yeah, where else? I go to Ireland, but
no.
It's pretty much greater Ireland.
And Berlin has like one English-speaking club per month.
There's a couple in Paris.
Really?
Yeah. I just want to walk by, but who knows how good it is.
Well, you've done stand-up comedy here before.
Uh-huh.
We have a big thing about not laughing at comedians.
It's the clapping. What are you guys doing? I had to scold the audience.
Yes,
well, I was so taken aback.
It doesn't work to scold them. I've tried for years now.
Really? It was like 20 minutes in, and I was like, what are you guys doing? Every joke, just clap.
Yeah.
And then clap. And then I was like, what's with the applause? It's not the kind of comic I am anyway. And I was like, just laugh. And then the next joke, it'd be like a half clap, and then they stop. I'm like, guys, you're overthinking it. If it moves you to laughter, then laugh. But it's different.
It's ingrained here.
God, that's how you show respect.
Yeah, well,
so you
I
just
guess.
Smile and go
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. You see my lips, they're like turned downwards.
That's a normal.
It's from growing up in this culture.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad you have low expectations for tonight, yeah. at least.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. How are you? How was the last time you did comedy in English?
Oh, I've been doing a few spots. We have an English, like, hour here every Thursday and a open mic, so I've been doing like two spots before this gig.
Okay.
In English.
Good.
Yes. And as I told you, I have 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I don't know how funny they are, we'll but they're see. There to see you anyway.
Yeah.
I only have to get them clapping.
You're also a degenerate. You're smart, but you're still a degenerate. So
how can
like
you tell?
I've just met you before.
Do I give off that BDSM vibe?
Yeah, maybe.
You stepped into the cellar.
That's right. It was dungeon, this reverse Anne Frank where you could sort of sleep people walking by in the windows.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of pissed about a window. This used to be like a real bomb shelter. And then somewhere in, like, I guess the 70s or something, they put in a window, which makes it a lot less dungeony.
Yeah, you really need that dungeon vibe. You gotta leave some like wet clothes down here in the darkness and get that mold smell. Get the mildew smell.
As a hobby, I make perfumes.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why if you think this smells a bit pungent in here, but still nice, it's from that refrigerator over there.
Where full of perfumes?
Yeah, where I have perfume absolutes.
How do you make perfume?
It's basically like cooking. I mean, you get an idea for different scents you want to combine, and then you just start experimenting.
It's cool.
Oh, it's a hobby, at least.
Yeah. Did you get any big life changes or realizations during COVID? You guys didn't really lock down.
No, we were... because we couldn't lock down, I think, because we don't have the resources to lock down our population. And also, we don't really respect life as a culture.
Yeah.
I mean, abortion here is definitely everyone not an issue.
Not an issue.
No.
Also, when everybody looks the same, it's tough to respect any human because I look like the same elf. you don't.
No. I'm, you know.
Yeah, right.
Genetically impaired.
Yeah, that's right. You came from another place.
No, my grandparents came here after the war, and I guess...
They should have come before. Well, what terrible planning.
Yes. And I think, I mean, all the rest of my extended family, they moved on to like Israel or Australia or America. But I guess my grandparents were like, nah, we're tired of moving. So we're
my parents moved to Israel.
Yeah.
Afterwards, my grandfather wanted to go get his farm back
in
Romania.
In Romania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He finished. You know, they managed to find the direct family all survived, which is wild. And the greater family was pretty decimated. But then, you know, refugees. I don't know how they even find each other. You write, here's my name. There was no computer systems.
Nope.
So it's like he comes from a concentration camp there. They came from a work camp there, and it's like. You ever find out you were in the same city traveling as a friend was at the same time? You're like, oh, I could. It's like, yeah, we're going to see them in Berlin. It's a big city.
Yeah.
You could be a street over and miss each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you find anybody, but they did. And then he was like, let's go get. And the way he had his farm taken from him was the local Christian, let's say Catholic priest, showed up with a policeman. And the Catholic priest was like, that's him, the Jew. I think he got a third of it. The policeman got a third of it. And then maybe someone else got a third or half and half. So he's going to go back and be like, well, it's my farm.
Yeah.
War's over. It's my farm. And then someone advised him, was like, what did those people think was going to happen to you when they told on you?
Yeah.
So they weren't. They
knew. He hadn't thought that far.
Right. So what do you think they're going to do now? You think they're just going to let. They've been living there for 5 years. It's their home. So what do you think they're going to do when you show up? If these are the same people, they didn't sell it, the same people. So like, they might kill you right at the doorstep.
Yeah.
It's like, just, it's done, man. It's over.
So and then it became Israel. Communist and they probably lost it anyway.
Yeah. My dad won't go back. I'm trying to get him to come. I'm going to Romania for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful country.
Yeah. I wish I had more time.
The food is terrible. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He won't go. Granted, he's got some trauma, but he's like, I won't remember anything. It's been two wars. But I'm like, you're not gonna remember anything anyway. You're fucking nine. What's gonna be there? But anyway, I'm excited about it.
So this European tour you're on now.
Yeah.
How many countries are you doing?
So what I try to do is, this is the other thing that nobody ever asked me about that I love talking about, is I like traveling a lot more than most of my friends. And I try to get two new countries every year, which is a silly thing, but also it helps motivate me to move. And I don't count if I'm there for a day. It's got to, like, you know, I've got to experience something a little bit. But there's some negatives of like, go, but you liked Indonesia, go back. I'm like, no, I still have to go to somewhere new. But also it really does get me moving. So on this trip, I was like, let me get some new countries. And they were like, let's keep you for 3 weeks in the UK and then Copenhagen, Stockholm, Oslo, Bergen. It's all like the standard ones. And I'm like, I've been there. Those are great. I'll go back, but like, give me some new spots. So, Slovenia.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. 2 days there.
Cool.
In Ljubljana.
Have they had stand-up?
It's new. I met a guy. I was skiing with my brother in Italy, and we met a guy from there. And I was like, and he works in like dance. He runs like a dance place. So he works in the arts. Because like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a performer. I don't know if you like telling people when you're gone.
No, not really.
Yeah.
And people don't ask me questions. I have one of those faces.
Standoff face. Yeah. The Aaron Flam, get away from me. So I was like, yeah, I'm at a venue. It's too big. Like, I'm not going to draw many people, in, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they have me like 1,000-seater. I'm like, if I do 200, I'll be stoked. And I showed him. He goes, oh, no, that's the experimental arts place. He goes, that's right. How many people on stage do you? I'm like, just me. And he goes, oh, wow, yeah. We just got that. So that's the right place for it. It's okay. Like a student arts center that's like weird. I'm like, okay. That, Romania, and then I'll finish in Athens. So I'll get three.
Three. Athens.
Yeah.
Greece,
yeah. I've never been
Their
to
English is, as far as my experience goes, not that great.
Oh, really?
I wonder how the Slovenians are doing. The Romanians were great.
Really?
Yeah, all their young people are like, they live there, if they live in Romania still, but they seem to be working online towards tech companies in Berlin or whatever.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah, I'm always interested in seeing which of these countries where it's only expats and which one where it's like, no, locals and no. Like just in Amsterdam yesterday, it was mostly people who live there.
Yeah, but their English is great.
Yeah, they're great. Right. Yeah. There wasn't much, except for a reference here or there. It was fine. But then China, you know, there's nobody Chinese who shows up.
No. Have you been to China?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shanghai, Beijing.
And done stand-up?
Yeah.
Really? They have stand-up clubs in Shanghai now? I mean, considering, you know, the censorship and the communist state. And it was just
revoked back to the state. They had a club in Shanghai.
All right.
Kung Fu comedy, I think. And the state was like, thank you. We've learned all we can about your capitalism. You're free to go.
We don't want the arts.
Yeah, they shut it down. It was crazy. The guy now, he runs Live Nation Asia. But he built up this whole scene in Shanghai, and then they just grabbed it away from under him. But what a fun place to perform and be.
Was it a lot of Chinese people in the audience?
Zero. In Hong Kong, sure.
Yeah.
You know, way more. But it's only expats.
And Taiwan?
Taiwan never played. Thailand, it was like 20% locals, 20-30% locals, and then 70% expats. But at least some of them knew English enough to come to a show, the young ones.
Hmm.
So it's interesting to see what the you know.
Have you been to Japan?
No. I wonder how that is. How is it?
Well, I didn't perform there because they only like once a month have an English expat stand-up club.
Yeah.
And not the month I was there.
So what do it in English when you're there? When you do these things?
I suppose. How would you do it in Japanese?
Well, no, it's Swedish. So you only have 10 minutes in English now. Or is that just right now?
It's always good to have an English set because, I mean, it's not that far or hard to leave for the United States or England.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it in English if you go to Berlin or
Holland. How many people in Berlin speak Swedish? It's probably harder to find.
Oh, there's a lot of Swedish speakers in Berlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I mean, London, when I was young, every like young Swede after high school moved to England for a year in London. And that was the cool place to be. And then when my kid brother, the youngest one, like 8 years younger, finished high school, Berlin was the hot place. So
Berlin's the coolest place in the world.
Yeah, it used to be.
Yeah, it's getting gentrified, but I was there in 2018, and I loved it.
I think you'll find Romania enchanting, because and Kiev before the war was becoming like the new Berlin.
Interesting.
Now, of course, obviously not.
Yeah,
but
I heard Ljubljana is like a bit like that.
What?
I never know how to say this name. Ljubljana.
Ljubljana?
Ljubljana, yeah.
All right.
I better learn it before I get there. yeah, I heard that's like it's got to be like the word can't get out. So maybe Romania will be that. I'm kind of excited.
You should be.
Yeah.
And you should travel around some if you have the time.
I have 4 days and I got to go to Cluj and I got to go to Bucharest. So I'll spend like maybe 2 nights in Cluj and 2 to 2.5 days in Bucharest. But I wanted to go to Iași where my dad was from, but not enough time. I think what I'm going to do is scout it out a little bit. And then my sister was like, I'll go with you. She's a teacher. She's like, I'll go with you for a long weekend. Maybe I can do that. And I was like, let me just look at it. And then we'll go back in the summer and really like go when she's off. You know?
So you're one of the few Americans who actually like to travel outside the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the comedians, they do like a show in Stockholm. The next night they're in Amsterdam. The next night they're in, you know, Bergen. The next night they're in Oslo. Then it's like, what, you not living this? Last time I was here with Yoshi, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Jim Norton. He opened for Jim Norton. And it was like show. So I'm like, So most of your European experience is at airports.
Yes.
It's like, nah.
But Yoshi, he stays around.
Yoshi's a traveler.
Yes.
He's one of the ones that are travelers.
But he's, I mean, originally some sort of Korean Japanese person.
Yeah. He's got roots to here specifically, I think, somehow. Not roots, but like he spent time here.
Yeah, I don't know really why, but he seems, maybe it reminds him of home. I mean, Sweden is also a very conformist country, just like Japan.
Yeah, maybe.
But a bit looser. I mean, if you're from Japan, then this is wild and crazy.
Dude, I love seeing people from different cultures, like looking at the one thing that's different. Yeah. Like, what? And they're like, what is it? Like, you have warmers for your towels? And you're like, whoa. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So what are you doing tonight? Because now are you working on a new themed show?
No, I want to make the theme more understated. I can't. It took too much out of me.
Because, I mean, you've chosen a headline or a name for it. It's the Wrong Side of History Tour.
Yeah.
And that sort of implicates that you want to be on the wrong side of history. And what is that, in your opinion?
What I'm seeing now is everyone... tell me how it is here. I asked a little bit in London. They have the same as the United States. And they, in Amsterdam, they said, where everyone's fighting with each other.
Yeah.
Politically a lot. And then
we're passive aggressive against each other, which is also another special of yours, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, and it could be about social situations. The trans thing is really dividing everybody now.
Wokeness, in other words. So woke is on one side of history.
Yeah.
And would you be on the other side of history?
So
will this be a socially conscious?
There's a step back. You don't have to get involved. And so people would be like, if you are silent on this, you're against us. I'm like, well, then both sides are saying I'm against you. If I'm silent, then I'm for the Nazis and I'm for the other side, whatever it was, the Jews.
But yes, but what if one side here is the Nazis?
Yeah.
Would you then take a step back?
Yeah, right. Backwards. You don't go left or right. You go back. You just don't get involved in anger-inducing issues that don't honestly affect you. Europe in the late 30s, as a Jew, it's tough to be like, that does affect you. But like the trans thing,
won't affect you because you've chosen not to have children. So they won't, trans your child.
Yeah, I get. But it's also like, they're like, these kids are getting surgeries. And I'm like, who's, are they being forced to? Is your kid getting to? What's it happened like three times? Like, it's just not a thing. It's just not a real thing. My friend did a joke about it with the old Facebook days when everybody was on there. And he said, I live in New York City. I've lived in New York City my whole life. There's more trans people there than almost anywhere in the world outside of probably Bangkok. He goes, this is when they weren't allowed to use certain bathrooms. Trans people were like, no, you can only use the gender they're born. And he goes, I've never seen a trans person go into any bathroom. And yet that's all anybody's thinking about right now. It's sure it's an issue, but it's not really in our day-to-day life.
Why does he want to see trans people on the toilet?
But you know what I'm saying?
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And it's like, this is like making you mad over something that shouldn't make you mad. Who's the president? Oh, I'm so mad. But like, you voted for that guy? Neither one of us are making bills or passing laws. So it's just like, I'm a little more, I like that he's pro-Israel and I'm against him breaking up the national parks. You don't like what he does economically, but you like that. It's just like, who cares? We all, The weather affects us the same. If your next door neighbor's against you politically, the snow is going to affect you equally. You know,
but the local
sports team is going to affect you equally.
But I'm glad you brought up politics in the United States because, I mean, we live here in the, I don't know, the 53rd state of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, under what used to be Pax Americana, you know, the American world peace or hegemony or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So what's it like over there now? I mean, because from the outside, it looks like the empire is crumbling.
Yeah. It happened before Trump. People have said it's Trump, but it's the combination. This is just me guessing. Combination of the internet and this divisive a character. But during Obama, before who people said was a great president, the ones who liked him, then the outsiders, the libertarians, are kind of like outside that. They're like, why was he a good president? People are like, what do you mean? Of course he was. And they're like, state it. And they're like, well, and then they'll compare him to Trump. I'm like, on his own, what's he good at? And then they'd be like, more drone killings of innocent people than anyone in history.
Great.
Do you support that? This woke person who loved to vote for a black guy? They're like, well, no. And it's like, okay, black people are worse under Obama than they were before. As my black friends say, than they were before. So is that, have you voted for that? The taking away of civil rights all the time. It's like, none of them are that good. They're all pretty shitty. I was in Ecuador in 2020. End of 2020, beginning of 2021. In America, we were done with stand-up for a while, so I left, but they had an election. There's 26 parties, so they don't yell at each other because...
It's too fragmented.
It's too fragmented. If it's not my party...
But Ecuador is also...
They get a new leader every 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say no confidence and get rid of them. They have so many leaders. But... and everything's crooked. The elections are crooked. They're rigged. So everybody kind of knows that, so they're not angry at their neighbor over how they vote politically. Because their general stance, from what I saw, is all of them are crooked. I think my guy's a little less crooked than your guy, or he's going to be crooked for my thing. It's like when a football ref like is slanted towards the home team never really complains about that.
Yeah,
you know.
I've had a few interviews with people from authoritarian regimes.
Yeah.
And they all say the same thing to me when I talk to them. I remember specifically interviewing a satirist from Egypt, and he was like, well, at least we know we're slaves.
Yeah, I like it. In Australia, they seem to know that they're... What I always gather was they kind of know their system is crooked too, but they don't think they can do anything about it, so let's just drink.
Okay.
And do the worst cocaine in the world.
I've never been to Australia.
Yeah, so... Yeah, there was this thing of like... I just don't vote. I don't get involved. But there was this thing of in China, when I went, they were going to pass a law saying every computer sold in China was going to have a chip in it so they could read everything you're writing. And the people, they didn't revolt, but there was anger about it because they were like, almost like the people as a whole to the government was like, it's not about overthrowing you. It's about saying dirty shit to my wife that I don't want you reading. This is very uncomfortable, you know? These things I'm doing are not wrong, but I don't, it's privacy at some level of it matters a bit.
But I mean, so wrong side of history, take a step back.
Yeah.
But what happens if they come for you, your freedom of speech, for instance? I mean, because you want to be able to say whatever you want, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be able to say fuck.
Yeah, sure.
And shit.
If
and
they come for me.
And ass.
Yeah. So what do you mean, what if they come for me?
Well, let's say, I mean, cancel culture. Yeah. Have you heard of this phenomenon? Yeah,
it's happened to me.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, yeah. This special was supposed to come out 2 years earlier.
The Jew one?
Yeah.
And then you got canceled?
Yeah.
For what?
Words.
What words?
I mean,
it wasn't and if were.
Yeah, right, right. No, it wasn't those. It's stir. I'm a pot stirrer. I'm a habitual line stepper, as they say. And I'd like to... You know, to be heady about it, you want to hold up a mirror to society and be like, look how ugly you are here.
Yeah.
Lots of comedians do that. My friend Kurt had a post once, not even a stand-up. He said, you can say America is an obese country. Everyone's like, yes. And if you go, this American is obese, they go, fuck, don't say that. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you didn't think any of them were? and it's just like, that's kind of hypocrisy, and we like to point that out. And whenever I saw a celebrity die and people go publicly online talking about how it affected them and how they're so upset. They remember the first time they heard David Bowie, it was so sad. I'm like, you guys suck. None of you do this for a friend who died. it's only famous people that you try to glom onto their story. And why do you respect the death of a celebrity more than a death of a normal good person? When in fact, almost every celebrity I've met has left me wanting. You know, they're bad people for the most part, actors especially. Just the worst, most solipsistic people in the world. But like, and I make fun of it. I would just like, I'll take this opportunity where everyone's like, wow, he was so great. He was so awesome. To go like, eh, fuck him. In different words. To be like, let's make fun of this guy while everyone's like praising him. And so the fun thing is it's out of place. That's what some comedy comes, you know, when you don't expect something. A man in a dress in the 60s was like, well, that's not what he's supposed to wear. So when everyone's saying how great, and if you're like, I think he was terrible, it's silly. So it's like, you know, funny. I'd say things like Stephen Hawking died. And I said, I just make a post to get everybody. I said, the wheelchair carries over. So enjoy trying to get through the clouds with that. No matter what, I'm trying to think who Aretha Franklin died. And I was like, she showed a generation of black people that big can be beautiful, dooming them to a diabetes epidemic. And you have to be like, hey, come on. So most people will just laugh. And then a small percentage will be like, hey, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Mostly people who don't know me, who someone forwards it to them.
I had one of those. Didn't get canceled for it. It was when Whitney Houston drowned in a bathtub.
Yeah.
And I said it was so sad because it exasperates prejudice that black people can't swim.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's great. And they got mad at it?
Yeah, some people did. But
that's not sensitive.
But race is not the big issue here.
Right.
We have a big Muslim minority. So there's that is a sensitive thing, and
right.
Misogyny is always fun here,
yeah.
or sensitive, depending on your viewpoint. So you got canceled.
Yeah, we had a basketball player who died suddenly, and from a team that I devoutedly hated forever.
Okay, so basketball player?
Kobe Bryant was his name.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
He was a rapist,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The charges were dropped when he paid off the woman.
And he died in a helicopter
accident. And I was like, I hate the Lakers. I'm so glad. You know, it's so funny how all the bloggers who come out against rape jokes and comedians never said a word about him because they love basketball more than they hate rape. I just made sure no one was on my side. It was great. So the comedians and people follow me. That's funny. Ari hates the Lakers, of course. This is like just up his alley. But then it went away from that and it got bigger and bigger.
How big? Because you come from a big country.
Yeah, it was just well known. People, black people especially, were like, this is racist. He wouldn't do this about a white guy. I'm like, no one looked up. Here's 20 examples of me doing it to a white guy. You lose context. You lose humor.
So it was a race thing that canceled.
They called my dad. They started crank calling my dad saying he should have died in the Holocaust. They found his number. It's like, I don't know what you guys are hoping this accomplishes. But it's like I said, they just want destruction. Anyway, so my producer, my special was like, hey, I can't. What if something happens? The threatening violence. Oh, they would call comedy clubs and we're going to come shoot the place up. They would just torture like random employees of places. It was crazy. I've been through these enough times. I knew none of these are ever real.
Yeah.
So I had no fear about it. But these other people for the first time were seeing it. And everyone's like, oh my God. So my manager was like, I can't represent you anymore. This production company left. So I didn't have an insurer for the venue, the production company. So I had to I was like, fuck, I'll just delay it till October. But then COVID happened.
Yeah.
So then it was like 2 years. Now that was a lot better for the special.
It was.
Yeah.
So you recommend getting canceled.
Absolutely. Louis says it too. He goes, you're free once you get canceled. Once you get it once, you're free. And he goes, every comic should get it.
So how free are you now? Would you
completely
never get a character in a film or?
Oh yeah, but I already didn't want to do that. And so, right. So you stop worrying about this thing you might get. I do a joke about it online, on stage, where I'm like, I'm talking about if I were the president of the United States, I would just be the worst one on purpose.
Yeah.
And I would say day one, I'd be like, hey, there's not going to be a second term. So you're not going to hold that over my head. And then let's start fucking hookers on camera, you know? and it's like, if there's something you want from them, like they still own it. But if you're like, this is all I want, I just want to do stand up, make goofy videos.
And that you can still do.
Yeah, you can still do it.
No one can cancel you from that.
Well, you ever read The Fountainhead? I'm going to look around and find it randomly.
No, I haven't. The Ayn Rand book?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't, actually.
Set me free.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're an objectivist.
I don't know. I haven't read any more of her theory or philosophy.
But that one was right up your alley.
Explain that word. I don't know what that word is.
Well, it's, I guess, but I've gotten it from, libertarians who like Ayn Rand, and that's what they call themselves, objectivists.
Objectivist. What does that mean? About objects or about an objective?
I'm guessing that they're objective.
Objective. Yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah, people were like, when I say that, like, you know, she took welfare in her later life. And I'm like, what does this have to do with the book I read? What are you talking about?
Yes, because you mentioned libertarians earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm guessing you must see quite a lot of them in the American comedy scene.
Only a few. It's almost all Democrats, and then a lot of people being
What
pushed.
Would you call Joe Rogan?
I guess he'd be a libertarian. It's just like two parties doesn't really cover everything. There's too much to it. My sister's like a Orthodox Jew, loves gay rights, but she'll be a Trump voter because he supports Israel. That's the main issue she cares about.
Yeah.
She's never going to have an abortion. It won't come across her family. So she's like, I don't care. You know, if that's legal or not legal, it doesn't affect her really at all or her whole community. And also, I'm sure she thinks it's wrong. But yeah, Ayn Rand had it was a guy. Wait, why did I bring it up? Which part of it? It's just an artist. And wait, what were we talking about?
Cancel culture.
Yeah. It's an architect. He gets canceled. And it's just like you owe people something before that. And once it's like they can't hold anything over you because you're just like, I'm doing this. Oh, I know what it is. So they can take stuff away from you. But those are just like frills.
The extras.
Yeah. Took me 2 extra years to make the special. Made the best of it. Got a better venue for the look of the special. Got all the kind of tighter so I could really get the candles completely covering up instead of
that
like towers of candles.
That was beautiful. Like, were they real candles?
Yeah.
So someone had to.
Yeah, yeah. We got 3 different like raped altar boys to come in and fucking say it's coming again if you don't do it. Like fucking really went fast. yeah, that was great. When we were gonna use LEDs and then like. We might use a haze. And so the venue was like, if you use a haze, you got to get the fire marshal here. You got to pay him like $500 for the night. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, the fire, and then because they had to turn off the, that's why, they had to turn off the fire alarm if the haze was there. And I was like, well, if we get the fire marshal here, can we use real candles? And she was like, yeah, I don't care. And me and the costume director, the set director were like, oh, let's wait on it. So that she had to fucking get 6,000 candles. So they can take these frills away from you. They can delay my special. They can take away a big venue. Let's say they protest it here. That shit's always possible. It gets a protest going.
Yeah.
And then eventually the venue, people blame them. It's not their fault. They just wanted to have someone fill a Wednesday night. They didn't want a Wednesday night and a protest.
No.
You know? So it's just like, it's not their son. It's just some performer. You know, we could just get a local group to fill the time. So they'll pull out, you know, they get bomb threats and stuff. They're like, this isn't what we want. So that'll hurt you. You get your show canceled. You lose money. You lose a bit of like some face. If people start calling you a bigot or a racist or anything, you know, insensitive or a jerk. But they can't make you not a comic. So even if you can't work professionally, you can still do open mics. I mean, there's just lunatics at open mics in America. I mean, full on like schizophrenic homeless people with. Guys that are go on to become the greatest comics of all time. And they're all linked together. So you can still do it. And the Fountainhead, as much as they canceled him, he was like, you can't make me not an architect. You can just stop me from working as an architect. But he goes, I'll go work the rock quarries and find out where the materials I use come from and how to like properly cut them down. I'll work in engineering or in electricity so I can find out how to run a line. He goes, you can't make me not an architect. You can just stop me from getting paid for it. So once you realize that, like, you can't make me not a comic. The rest is just cash. And I don't really need that much money. So then it's like, this is all bonus. We're all just trying to tell dick jokes. And some of them are, you know.
But some of them are important dick jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. But man, once they can't make you, like, go away, it's so freeing. You should read it. It's a good book.
I think I will.
And there's so many, as I was reading it and I was kind of going through, I guess one of them, maybe I reread it. And it was just like, oh, I had to keep going back. Like, when was this written? Because it was like people in my life filled these roles, these prototypes that she set up. The one in the know who's going to like say something public against you to like get points for themselves. It's like all these different types of people. And she like analyzes all of them.
Well, I'm thinking if there are two sides in America now,
yeah.
I mean, one side wants to cancel people. Does the other side want to cancel people?
Okay. Because it, I mean, here's the thing. When it says sides, so I'm starting to understand this. There's left and right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what I really think is me, and I think I'm 60% of the country who doesn't really care, but who can get dragged into arguments. And then they're saying, weigh in on this thing you barely know about. And then you start going, well, they'll go like, Donald Trump is bad. You're like, okay, let's say you're against him. You're like, sure, okay. Like, he's breaking up the national parks. Yeah, that's shitty. He's giving, making the rich richer and the poor poorer. Yeah, that's bad. He's like, he's worse than Hitler. You're like, well, I don't know about that. It's like, oh, you like him? Like, no, just like, he's not worse than Hitler. He's like, well, he's just like Hitler. And you're like, dude, I'm never going to agree with you on this. He's not as bad as Hitler. And then they go, fuck you. How do you do that? And then it's like, now we're arguing. And I don't vote. I don't know anything about it. You just stuck me on one point that I can't let go. And I might be wrong. Maybe he has been killing lots of Jews. I don't know.
6 million.
So he's up to 4. He's up to 3.2. He was on pace to break the record. And so then you get dragged. So 60% of us, I think, really don't care. Half the country doesn't vote. So we definitely don't care enough to vote. So 75% of the country didn't vote for each of the last two candidates. So we're dragged in. We don't give a shit. It's just like, wait, I forgot what you asked me again. What were we talking about?
Wrong side of history.
Yeah.
What if they come for you?
They won't come for me. And my feelings
They've about already it, come for you, apparently.
My feelings about it don't matter. I can't stop it. So when this Russia-Ukraine thing happened, everybody was like, it's nuclear war. We're gonna have to defend Ukraine. It's inevitable. This could easily go nuclear war. And I kind of remember the Red Scare when I was a child. They told us to get under tables because that'll...
You say child because people call you a man child.
But people were worried about it. They lost sleep over it. And their losing sleep wasn't going to help it.
No.
Same.
But you get out there. The war in Ukraine says something about America's place in the world, because you've been the empire now mm-hmm. for a long time, as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed the 80s, which was apparently great. I mean, I was a child, but I wish I, you know, could have been in, for instance.
Investors. Yeah.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Go back in time and invent Airbnb. I don't know. They all just hate each other. And I just don't think it affects me. We pulled out of Afghanistan. Everyone's mad about that for a month. You ever go back and think about the stories that everybody was mad about for a month? And people are like, I don't ever heard of them. I'm like, you definitely heard of it. Let me remind you of the details.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, let me show you a tweet how angry you were. And you're like, oh, yeah, I didn't even remember it. It doesn't really affect you. Go outside. The birds are chirping. The fucking blossoms are blooming. Those Japanese blossoms are all out. And you're going to miss that by fighting with people about shit that doesn't really affect you. Or you'll have no effect over about that. They could come. But I'm going to spend my last days before nuclear holocaust worried about nuclear holocaust. Or I should spend it skiing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So it's like, I get
because
why you
don't
want to be
really
involved.
Have any political, military, or economic power to affect the...
Absolutely, none. Yeah. And I don't know enough. I think they're all kind of crooked, but I can't explain to you exactly why and how. I don't know. I think the good stuff that come out of Trump is that we're now looking hard at everything our leaders do. So you can't just let them get by on anything anymore. So both sides. So in terms of like who's canceling who, that's what I was going to say. There are these fringes. So you have the left, right, and I think most people are in the middle in the apathetic world. But the left and the right, the ones who speak for them are the crazy ones. So the craziest left-wing person is saying, if you don't know all the 67 genders, we're firing you from your job. And everybody on the right, the crazy ones and the normal ones, go, what are they doing to us? I don't know anything about that. But that's not really the left. That's just the militant left. That's the Islamic militants, whereas most Islamics are peaceful and they go by a fucking Bible that told them to be chill.
Yes.
But the ones that speak for them are these crazies, the ones out there people.
But those are the ones you hear?
Those are the ones you hear.
Usually also they have power because they're fanatics.
Yeah.
So it affects you. It will affect you.
Yeah.
I mean, it has affected you, apparently.
Yeah.
You got canceled.
Yeah.
for saying
that wasn't the left, interestingly enough.
Was it?
No, it was basketball fans.
Basketball fans.
Yeah, not left or right. It was just triggered people, which I think really loved it because it wasn't anything like we did something wrong. You know what was even better? Comedians came out against me, especially the Los Angeles comedians. Black comedians and Los Angeles comedians came out against me, and they couldn't figure out why. They were just, I don't, and I tried to explain it, like, you're just triggered by this. You love this man, so you didn't want anybody to be insensitive about him. But in the past, when you've said to the population, if you don't like a joke, just move on, just walk away. Now you're not doing it.
Yeah.
You said that about rape jokes and about Holocaust jokes, but now it's something that finally affected you, and now you're fucking being a hypocrite. You're turncoating because I affected you.
So how woke are the LA comedians now?
I think a lot of them are just trying on clothes. I don't think they really believe that. I think it's just like what'll get them ahead. They think that's what the world is, so they just bow down to it. But if it shifts, they'll shift right back. Oh, Sweden.
That's not a very charming description, but
yeah. You know, they're just like, this is what's in right now, so I'll do it. And they don't really have any standards. LA's worse than New York by a long way. But there's that worry now. There's always that worry, which I love. It makes comedy dangerous again. It's not just somebody walking out angry. It's somebody walking out angry and continuing the fight while you're still on entertaining people. And then you leave, you get out of the venue, or you go home from wherever you are, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, like a Holocaust, not a Holocaust, a nuclear balloon, you know, nuclear mushroom, which just keeps growing. So that's a possibility at any moment. We do insensitive stuff. That's the world we live in.
Or yes, comedians do. Yeah. It's our job.
Actually. Almost anything we say is insensitive maybe not to a massive group, but like to something. If you say lollipops suck, you know, it's like it's a touch insensitive to a certain kind of candy.
It's always some sort of critique. I mean, even if Seinfeld goes on to say, why do we call it the glove compartment? We never keep gloves in there.
Yeah.
It's a critique of something.
Yeah, there's one guy who's like, my dad invented that. He called that. You should fuck you. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's all right. It's always a critique of something. So this insensitivity, it's like, it's just a lack of understanding what we do. Or like, I want this. Like, you're not everybody. You know, we used to deal with this a long time ago before the woke stuff with just dirty or not dirty.
So maybe you should call it no side of history.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because if we, you know, vanquish the woke and then some other guys come in.
The right wingers are the same way. They don't want the trans people even existing. You know, the crazy right wingers that the left wing sees is like this, everybody who votes Republican hates all trans people. And it's just not true. It's these fringes, the vocal minority. But they'll also try whatever they can. They just don't have the power right now. They don't run the media.
That is true.
The media, so they have the power of the word.
We do.
Yeah, we do. We're the liberals. I mean, I'm liberal. You are too, I'm sure.
I am classically liberal. I'm more libertarian, but I would say
socially liberal.
That, you know, in it's so funny because in America, liberal is sort of a cuss word from the right to the left.
Yeah.
Here, it's a cuss word from the left to the right.
Interesting.
Because different countries really have their own political scale. So if you take up an American political scale and you point out libertarian, they're on the utmost left.
Wow.
And here they would be on the utmost right.
All the I guess the left, they look at libertarians as right wing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they can't figure out that it's the same thing. If you're silent, you're against us.
Yeah.
And they're like, my friend Dave Smith, he's the best at it. He was the first libertarian I met. And he got me understanding that I probably am too. But I would call myself a bleeding heart libertarian. Where like, do whatever you want. Everyone get the fuck off me. Don't touch me. Don't make me do anything. I can do cocaine in my home. It doesn't affect you. But I'm like, that is a homeless guy. And we should be helping him as a society. And they're like, that means taxes. I'm like, yeah, I feel bad. I think we should help. But he said, I'm like, but you're more Democrat than Republican. And he's like, no, Ari. I believe one side wants to take 37% of my money and do with it what they want that I don't agree with them on. And the other side wants to take 34% of my money and do with it what they want that I don't agree with them on. That's the reality.
So
I'm a libertarian.
I guess you are.
Yeah.
But, I had one question, though, from Jason Rouse.
It looks like Gemara. That's what it is. It looks like a whole, like a very, like, religious book.
I actually bought this for your sake because I needed to learn my material
yeah
in English, so I've been writing it out in longhand.
You had Barry Weiss on here?
On the pod? No, not yet. I've been trying to get a hold of her, but yeah, it's kind too. Of hard.
It's hard. I wanted to have her on too.
Really?
I even had Joe Rogan as friends with her. It's like, yeah, I'll tell her. I was like, sweet. And then just can't get her on.
Because I went into the Twitter files for a while, so I wanted to get Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss, but unfortunately, no, an unknown comedian from Sweden has little chance of reaching out. So let's see, what was Jason's question?
Yeah, what
question?
Did Ralph say? Somebody just reminded me of, they're like, the last time you had a comedian open for you. I was like, who was that? I was like, oh, Jason Rouse. And she was like, yeah. Like, and the other guy was like, who is he? I'm like, he's the darkest one.
Yeah, I love Jason.
Yeah, he's the best.
He lived here for a few years. That's how I got to know him and Joshi by extension. So his question was, why did you take a shit in Bobby Lee's car?
I like to stir the pot, man. So Bobby had pissed on someone else's car, and then the guy was livid. You know when you do something fun? Like as a comedian,
yeah,
like kind of like overly mean, but it's a joke. We're friends with each other. A fun thing New York comics do is like you wait in line for a slice of pizza, and you're like, oh god, wait. And then as soon as it pushes out, you just kind of go like that, knock the pizza on the cement. You're like, damn it! And then you immediately give them $5, so it's not financial. Yeah. It's just like, oh, I wanted it, and it only works if you're friends with them. You can't do it to a stranger; it'll be a fight. But if it's friends, you're like, I know how overboard that is and ridiculous, so it's funny. So, but if the person doesn't take it as funny, then it's really wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So Bobby pissed on this guy's, on his car, and the guy's like, don't do that. Please don't do that. I'm telling you.
Was it a nice car or?
No, it was just his car.
And
it was
it's like, not in the car, it's just on the car.
On the car. Bobby said, give me a hug. And the guy was a bit homophobic and said, no. Bobby loved playing around with homophobia and homoerotic stuff. So he's like, let me have a hug. And then he'd hug on you and he'd be like, get away from me. He's chasing him down Sunset Boulevard, give him a hug. It was never going to happen. So Bobby's like, went over to this guy's car, James, and he's like, give me a hug or I'm going to piss in your car. And then he pulled his dick out to show he was serious. And James was like, I wasn't going to hug you before you had your dick out because of homophobia. There's less chances now. So Bobby just pissed on his car and the guy was fucking livid. And Bobby saw it. He saw I went too far or wasn't well received. You ever make a joke around your in-laws and then there's that moment of like, oh shit, if you don't laugh, it's bad.
Yeah.
And then if one does and they also like, oh, because you know, if they don't, it's just like, can we leave what Aaron said in our home? You know, you just need that one laugh to start.
Yeah.
This guy didn't give it to him. So he was like, shit, I went too far. We were all poor comics and Bobby was not. So Bobby was like, let me make it up to you. I'm going to take you guys all out for deli food tonight. And it was like, so I just glommed on because, you know.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was fun. So then he was like, okay, I calmed down. After the meal, Bobby ran across to Jim's car, pissed all over it, up in the door handle, and then he was like, what? And then jumped in his car and drove off. Yeah, and James was so mad, like shaking in a way, and he was gone. So he would have fucking killed him if he stayed. And I was like, sitting there next to him, this rage thing. I was safe, but I'm like, whoa. I'm like, you're all right? He goes, no, I'm not all right. And I was like, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to shit on his car. And I was like, okay. So then like a week passed. I like to stir the pot. I like to see. A week passed. Jim, James, same name, was leaving the Comedy Store. I was like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going home. My shift's over. I'm like, look whose car is right there. And he goes, what? I'm like, you said you were going to shit on his car. And he goes, oh, I just took a dump like an hour ago. I'm like, I ate a burrito. I'll dump for you. So I shit into a bag. And then I handed them the bag.
All right.
And I said, go for it. And he took the top of a box and used it like a spackle. And he would take stuff and just pack it into the door handles in Bobby's car, into the windshield wipers and turn the windshield wipers on. And then just like, and then left. And
did Bobby take it?
Not well.
No?
So he came back, came home from wherever he was, back to get his car at like 2 a.m., 2:30 in the morning with a friend of ours. They were together, Aaron Cater, Palestinian guy. Unfortunately for him, he was caught up in the crossfire because
as is usually the case for Palestinians.
You guys have had it rough and this was just rougher. We thought maybe Bobby would bring a girl home with him. So we're like, let's pack the door handles on the passenger side. So Aaron got it and went, ew. And then Bobby was like, ew, what? As he was like, what the fuck? And he was like, oh, Everything's closed. There's nowhere to wash human feces off your hand. We had to wipe it off the cement. Not the best way to do that. And he had to like walk down the street with his hand up trying to ask for like a hotel that would let him use a bathroom. They're like, no, I see your feces all over your hand. Like, ah. And it took him like an hour to find
somebody. Before you start fisting your lover, make sure you have a sink nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't ask to use ours.
So he finally finds a hose and they're like, you can use that. He hoses up his hand. He was so mad. Now it's 3:30 in the morning. He's dead tired. Aaron was like, I'm taking a cab. I'm done with you. Why'd you catch me up in this? And so he's just so mad. So he goes in, he finds a homeless guy to clean out the inside of his door handle. I think $20 is what he paid him. And cleans it out, opened the door for Bobby. He's like, I'll go to a fucking, he's so livid. And he called me right then. I was asleep, but he called me and he left a message. And the message was, Ari, I know this was you. I know you had something to do with this. And right then, there's sometimes you do a prank where you're like, I won't be there to see it pay off.
Yeah.
But you just have to like rely on knowing that it will pay off. If somebody asked me someone's name that they already should have known, if I'm smart, I will try to tell them the wrong name because then they've learned it and they'll go out of their way. Like, what's his name? It's like, Bob, it's Bill. But Bob's like, okay. And then the meme's like, hey, Bob, because it's the first time in 6 months they've used their name. It's like, nice to see you again, Bob. I'll see you later. And you just use the wrong name. And it's very embarrassing.
Yes.
You're never there to see that pay off. Somebody just goes, why'd you tell me his name was Bob? His name is Bill. I'm like, like, fuck. He calls right then. And he's like, I know this is you, fuck you, pretty much cursing me out. And he starts his car and he doesn't know shit
did
is
he DNA
in the
test the
wipers.
Poo?
He just knows who I am.
Yeah, but I mean, because it's a very Jason Rousey thing to do as well.
It is. Jason Rousey shits in the tubs.
Yes.
The hotel tubs. He loves
projectile
shitting.
Also, when he's staying as a guest in other people's houses, he takes shits in their tub.
That's the thing. It's like, people understand, like, no one else can get it. Like, it's so wrong. He's a guest in my home. If it was a normal person doing that, I'd be like, you're never staying here again.
No, what did you expect? You invited this guy who has a grill and dresses like a death metal guitarist and he's like 50 by now or 70? I don't know.
I think he is beyond time. And anyway, the windshield wipers just started up when he turned and they're just spreading feces all over his car and he just lost it on the message. I was able to hear it. It was great. He had to drive through a car wash with his head out the window, catching fucking smell of feces because he couldn't see. Oh, what a win. Anyway, that's why.
So how's your relationship now?
It's great now. We had our time. It wasn't, but right now it's fine.
Right.
Bobby's got trouble too now.
Why?
Making up a story. And then it's not so much the angry, like the ones who want to punish. They take everything you say on stage as like 100% real. And they're like, that's illegal. I'm like, well, I didn't do it.
And you wrote a joke. Yeah. So what was the joke?
It was about him going to Tijuana and fucking like an underage hooker.
Okay.
But he was like, I've been to Tijuana. I fuck hookers. And then I see underage hookers. So he just like, let me just combine them in a story. Yeah.
And make myself look bad, which is something comedians do.
Exactly. I'm like, make myself look like an asshole here. Yes. And then 10 years later, it's like, oh, we just discovered this. You've admitted. And it's like, no, that's not. Yeah. It's so hard because a lot of times what you're doing is making comics say like, I exaggerate.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't want to tell you that.
And also when you start out, especially, I think shock comedy is sort of a go-to because...
Yeah, it's an easiest way to like get them like whatever. Yeah, say you're a rapist or say you're a Nazi.
Yeah, for this joke, I'm a rapist.
Right, exactly.
Yes, I've had jokes like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope nobody finds them.
I'm about to go delete all my old podcasts.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think they're doing anything good. I think they're just time bombs waiting. Yeah, I think the amount of people who go listen to a podcast from 8 years ago are like, each two a year, maybe five a year, versus the people who are going through with a comb of like, you wouldn't have said that today. I'm like, no, it was 11 years ago. Of course I wouldn't say it today. It's different.
But it is, you're erasing your own history. I mean, look, think about it. When future historians want to know more about Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
You know.
But his sense of humor. I saw the Dalí Museum in St. Pete, Florida, and it goes chronologically. and you see him go from like just still lifes of like fruit on a table, very representational, and then like the third corner is like, oh, that looks a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, and then it gets weirder and weirder and weirder. You want to know Dolly's early years. Absolutely.
Of course
I'm
do.
Agreeing with you, but dangerous to my guests.
I mean, you have your specials. They're yeah. out. You're never yeah. going to erase those, I hope.
No.
Uh-uh. So those will be your monuments, but yeah. the skeptic tank will be gone.
It's just a way to promote shows, really. Yeah.
That's how it started with this.
I mean, they're cool. They're independent little pieces, too, which I like that, but I'm about ready to be done with mine.
Oh, I will never erase this episode.
Thanks. I had a woman call me. I used to do it on a theme of someone who knows a lot about something or has experience with something. Done with people who've been molested as kids, 9/11 first responders, and then fun stuff. Like I worked at the rodeo for a summer. Interesting. Someone who knows a lot about military history or anything. Locations. I could do one about Stockholm with you. You could, yeah. you know, tell me everything about this place. And I did one about miscarriages with a woman who had had one. And then she wrote me late last year, early this year. And it's like, hey, and it was very nice. She was very open and it was a great one. And she goes, hey, listen, somebody just said they heard it and they reached out to me and it just brought back a lot of bad memories. I have two kids now. And she's like, I'm sorry to ask, but like, would you mind taking that down? It just brings up terrible memories to me. That's not a woke thing.
No.
It was just like a social
that's
thing.
That's a personal
like, yeah.
thing.
And I was like, yeah, it's down right. I'll take it down right now. Like, yeah, I'm sorry that that came back. I don't want that. And that's the most innocuous of them. The stuff we said back then when we thought 100 people were listening.
Yes.
It's wild.
But it was experimental.
It was experimental.
And
it was.
That's how it's supposed to be taken.
That is. It's just we're in such a punishment world. I just feel bad to the guests. It's like early punk. Was like they barely knew how to play a guitar. It was like two chords, if not three.
Yeah. So would you get rid of all Sex Pistols records?
Right. But no.
No, but you wouldn't.
I would not. No. You know, and I wouldn't look back at it.
Because then you'd be on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Worse than Hitler.
Worse than Hitler. That's a good one. It's just like, I mean, I'm struggling with it, but I don't. Yeah, my stand-up, no. Podcasts.
I understand the difference because the stand-up is sublimated. It's already it's a work of art.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. This is when it's finished now.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would go back in my phone and eventually erase like a recording of a set I had preparing for a special.
Yeah.
With just notes.
But that's.
It is cool when you see an artist's notes, but those aren't the most
Nachlas,
important thing.
The Nachlas of Ari Shafir.
Yeah, it's just my stand-up.
Yeah. And just lots of books like this with just one word to remember a joke, like Holocaust.
Yeah. I use these little nothing books. They're getting rid of them now. Where is it? Oops, I don't even have it. Yeah, these. Nope.
But that,
no, is my notebook gone? What?
That's a small one, isn't it?
That's a passport.
Huh.
Where the fuck is my notebook? Oh, no.
Yeah, your parents.
Oh, I had to take it out for my flight. I put it in my
passports
bag.
Passports are blue.
Yeah, what are yours? Red?
Red.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my European passport.
I usually use, you see those small ones?
That's it.
A7 Moleskine.
This is it. This is the ones I use.
Yeah.
They're the best. And they tear out if you're done with it.
Yeah. So those are the ones I use normally. Oh. But if you're preparing to warm up for Ari Shafir at Kina Teatern in Stockholm, then you'd better be prepared.
How was I a bad guest? Tell me what I could have done different.
You haven't been a bad guest. You've been an excellent guest.
Oh, thanks.
I have a poop story.
Yeah.
We've talked about comedy, right?
Yeah.
We even got a bit into Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the beginning of a political awakening for you.
Yes. Artistic awakening.
Artistic.
Yeah. It was the pure artist as an architect, but like whatever. And then it was like, you can't ever achieve that. You know, it's like a perfect 10 as a woman.
So you'll never, would you ever from now on prioritize politics in a joke before laughter?
No. And I don't see why there would be a prioritization. That kills me about American comics. Why'd you guys get not funny to talk about Trump? Trump got elected and then they just stopped being funny. There's more humor than ever. And they're so worked up that they're just like, they forgot to do a joke about it. I had a friend,
Well, it was kind of hard when Trump came in, because you could basically go up on stage and read his tweets. You didn't have to add a punchline.
You weren't even doing that. It was just like, yeah, sure, just do that. That's funny enough. No one did anything. It was so weird. They were just too upset by it. I started a thing online. I was like, if you see a comic doing a tweet that's not even trying to be funny, not funny, but when you see there's not even an attempt at funny, like, I hate Trump. This is the worst president we've ever had. Like that. I said, I'm not going to tell you who it is. Just, it's any of them. It's all of them. Just respond to them like, oh my God, you're so funny. I hope this is in your Netflix special. And then they all went after a friend of mine, Greg Fitzsimmons, once. Same thing. He did one of those, you know, statement stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's like, why is everyone saying, I hope this is in your Netflix, like, why is everyone saying this? And they were like, ask Ari. So he did. He's like, what's this? Well, it wasn't with you in mind. It was well before you wrote that. And he goes, what are you saying? I should stay in my lane. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're one of the best comedy writers in the world. If you can't make a funny joke about this, then we're all lost. I know you can. You're a way better writer than I am. So yeah, make this funny. Bob Dylan would write a song about it.
Yes, but he can get emotional in a song. I mean, a comedian, part of comedy is distancing yourself as much as possible.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the tagline for this podcast is "Your feelings are hurting my thoughts."
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Some point in the future, someone will find that, take offense, and, you know,
go after. Be like, all right, that's fine. I heard a radio show, Ron and Fez, and it was such a good moment. It started at 10 a.m. It's 10:45, and they took a caller, regular listener, goes, yeah, you haven't been funny all morning. You haven't been funny at all morning. And Ron just goes, so? I was like, oh, I got nothing. So what? I don't like that. All right.
It's hard to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the world as it is now should make it easier. So maybe a step back is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because if we're heading toward, you know, World War III or a new Cold War even.
Yeah. I mean, even if we break off into bands in a post-apocalyptic world, you can't. Can't make fun of like your tribe versus another tribe, and like,
well, your
tribe has electricity. I wish we had that, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
How would you dress?
What, post-apocalyptic?
Yes.
Warm. I wear layers because, you know, you can always like take off and tie around you. But
if I had been an American, I would go for, you know, I would spray paint American like football gear.
So they leave you alone.
Yeah.
I do an American accent for me.
I thought I was.
We had this German guy in yeshiva with us, Guy, and he would love doing an American accent. He couldn't really do it. He just goes, hi, my name is Guy, and I'm an American.
Hello, my name is Aaron Flame. Flam? I don't know. We get all your sitcoms here as children, so you sort of pick up sort of American from that, but then in school they want you to learn Royal British English. So you sound,
that's why,
like,
you sound like that.
Like a posh person from Britain.
So funny.
And then it just fucks you up. So I was an exchange student in Canada for a year, and everyone there thought I was South African for some reason.
You do sound hella British. Hella upscale British.
Huh. Well, thank you. I don't think an upscale Brit would say the same, but
we knew a person who took an Irish person who took English lessons. Not an Irish person, maybe.
Well, you know, Irish people
couldn't have been that
speak English.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, couldn't have been that.
But they also speak Gaelic. No,
yeah. Isn't I guess it? They studied for a while in the south of America, so that they had this, like, couldn't have been an Irish. I'm mixing it up with somebody else, but they had this southern, like, it was like, let's say it was a Swede, it was like a southern Swede accent. It was just like so weird. Like, where'd you get that from? Like, my teacher.
And that's,
my teacher.
I mean, in Texas, they have a drawl, right?
Uh-huh.
Same thing with south of Sweden. They also have a drawl.
Really? These are rednecks. They're uneducated pieces of shit.
That's usually what we up here in the north call them.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, I mean, middle of the country, really. Not even middle. We're, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody go up there?
My wife is from there. That's where I got her from.
Oh.
from it. She's like a wildling exchange from behind the wall.
Yeah. Those people are wild. People, and like here in Iceland, like away from Reykjavik.
Yeah.
Like, what are you?
Yeah. Well, that's how you get Bjork.
Yeah. Yeah.
300,000 people fucking each other for generations, a few thousand years.
It's like, great, Bjork nailed it again.
So anyway, we should go get something to eat before the show.
Yeah, sure. 6:15. We got to be there in an hour.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
So thank you for participating.
Thank you, Sweden. I hope to take over now. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you for having listened to or watched Deconstructive Criticism with our guest today, Ari Shafir. If you want to know more about Ari, you'll find links in the description of this episode on aaronflam.com. If you like this video, please like and subscribe. There are also other ways to contribute to my production, and you'll find those ways in a link in the description below this episode, regardless of platform. I have been Aaron Flam. Until next time, have a good unit of time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.